Good morning, everyone. Brother Brad is feeling under the weather and asked me to fill in, and I was nervous, so I got me two good helpers to help me. So let's all get the favorite gospel songs and turn to number 206. 206. Good. Let's turn to number 82.
You girls can stay up here and help me if you want. I'm just kidding. We preachers get nervous too. I couldn't help but think when we're singing that song of John standing there looking over that multitude that talks about in the Bible in Revelation. And they said it was a number that no man could number. In other words, it was a sizable crowd. And the elder asked John, he said, where'd all these people come from? And, you know, from whence came they is what he said. And John answered him, he said, sir, thou knowest. And his answer was, these are they that have come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. If you've been saved, John saw you that day. That's out in the future. John saw us. What we're talked about in the Bible, y'all. We were there. What a jubilee. We have good times here, but nothing compares to that day after a while when we'll meet on the other side. Good to see everybody. Welcome everyone to Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church. I'm your unworthy substitute for today. Brother Ricky and his family are on a sabbatical, and we wish them well. And he and I corresponded this morning that I hope he has safe and he comes back relaxed, because every time I go on vacation, I need 2 days just to unwind. Because I try to do too much, Miss Heather, and it seems it's never relaxing. But we wish them well, and the family in their trip, and I believe they're in Orlando. So hopefully they're enjoying some good weather. But let's meet together and let's worship the Lord. And the Lord help us in a little while. We'll be trying to bring a message. And before that we do, we would need to pray, and we'll ask for some prayer requests in a minute. But there have already been some that have been written down, and we'd to stay in with what we normally do, we'll ask one of our younger generation to come and read those off. So this morning, that is Mr. Sean. Would you come, and let's hear what you have to say.
Prayer requests are healing for Dave and Sandy's family members, Mary's mother and Mary in her trip in October, the Davenports, the Lowrys, and the McClanahans, Joan's sister-in-law with COVID, all the lost who are in the world, here and around places we're not at, Brad's family with sickness and his friend with COVID, Brother Ricky and their family on their trip, the town of Waverly and those who have been impacted by the floods, Brother Sonny's grandson, Jackson, who has COVID, and then some of the prayer requests from the back are Zoe's grandmother, Naomi, and Landon's aunt, Adriana.
We appreciate that. So let's add these to our prayer requests and petition to the Lord. And we'll go to prayer in just a minute. But some of you may have other prayer requests that weren't made known. Brother Randall. Bless. Right. Let's remember this. And I think that had been in Brother Brad's family. Mr. Sean read off that family is having sickness, and they had COVID symptoms, but not COVID. Just it's that time of year when, I guess, nasty stuff goes around Miss Annette, and it just infects all of us. So let's remember Miss Debbie in our prayers as well. Is there someone else that have a prayer request, a praise report, or a testimony at this time? Yes, Miss Hope. We will do that. Thank you for asking for her. Her cousin Zadie. Appreciate this. Thanks again for everyone being here, and we'll go have a short prayer, and then we'll ask someone to lead, and then immediately after we'll have a short children's time up here. But right now, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll call on someone to lead, but we'd ask everyone to pray. And I would ask our good friend, Mr. Raymer in the back. Mr. Steve, would you take us to the throne this morning?
All right. It's time for the children to get
right over here, and we'll have a short lesson. Everybody come on up. Hey, buddy. Run, Sarah, run. All right. All right. Hi, Stevie. Happy birthday. All right. All right. What a good-looking bunch we got here. I won't keep you too long. Y'all look like you're pretty much most of you're in school, right? At least you're in Sunday school. Are y'all learning anything in school? Are you? Somebody tell me one thing you learned in school this week. One thing. What do you know? What did you learn? One thing. Okay. Yes, Hope.
Adverbs.
Adverbs. Are you an adverb?
Yes.
It's a noun. You're a noun. That's right. The teacher told you over there, didn't she? Leave it to the teacher. Thank you. Thank you. So, yeah, that's English and how to speak and how to use proper terms. We all need to learn that. Anybody learn anything in math? Math was my favorite subject. Yes?
We learned about prime and composite numbers.
Prime and composite numbers. Is 3 a prime number?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you for giving him the answer over here. Why? Because it's only divisible by itself, right? It's a prime number. Did you have a comment? You're waving your hand. All right. Anybody ever, we're all from the South, okay? I'm going to change the subject just a little bit about knowing. Anybody, y'all ever hear anybody say, when you first meet, you say, what do you know? You ever hear that? Have you ever heard anybody say that? Anybody here ever heard anybody say that? Yeah, it's an expression of speech. And it's something just to introduce a conversation. But they don't want to really know all that you know. They just, you know, sometimes what do you know? Good. So what we know is good. And what y'all are going to be learning the next 100,000 years as you're in school, hopefully you'll retain most of that. Okay. That went over their head, didn't it? They'll think that when they get into senior in high school. Man, it's been here so long. So hopefully you will retain what you learn, because it will help you in life. It will help you. Sometimes the teacher has to get your attention when she's on the board or ever how she does her lesson. You know, she says, okay, I want you to learn this. You know, stop talking in the back. I need you to learn this. She has to get her attention. And so with emphasis that she wants on that. So I hope that you pay attention in school. Not only that, but in this school back here, right? How many of you went to Sunday school this morning? Yeah? What did you learn? Somebody tell me something that you learned this morning, Zoe. I'm going to put you on the spot. Yes. Yes, about how God loves everybody and he wants us all to hold to heaven. That's very true. No truer words have never been spoken. The Master, who is Jesus, once said, come unto me. This is in Matthew. You can read it yourself. I'm not making this up. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then he said, put my yoke upon you and learn of me. And you shall find rest for your souls. For my burden's easy and my yoke is light. And I paraphrase a lot of that. But he said, learn of me. Y'all are going to learn a lot of things. A lot of you are going to be scholars. A lot of you are going to go to college. And that's another 50 years on top of the 100 you're going to be in school. But it'll go by like that. It'll go by like that, okay? But when it comes to salvation, it's not what you know, but it's who you know. It's who you know. At the end of time, when we all stand before Jesus, Jesus is going to know who knows them and who doesn't. You must know him, and you must know him in your heart. Most of you will come to that point in your life sometime soon, sometime real soon. And your mother won't have to tell you. Brother Ricky won't have to tell you. Your grandparents won't have to tell you. But the Holy Spirit is going to get your attention. Remember the teacher with emphasis who wanted to teach you something? The Holy Spirit's going to come to you and say, you're lost. You are apart from God. You need to come to learn to know me. And don't, when that comes, don't ignore it. You know, when you're in class, don't ignore what's going on, but pay attention. I want you to pay attention to that. It's going to be a drawing. It's going to be something that you will know. When that Holy Spirit comes to you and lets you know you're lost, the best thing you can do right then, when you feel that knocking, is to answer to it and say, Lord, you know, I'm here. My soul is in your hands. Save me. And that's just something that has been talked about in the Bible. You're going to have to pray your prayer. You're going to have your own repentance and faith. You can't pray for her. She can't pray for you. You'll have to pray your own prayer. So Jesus said, learn of me. And if you know him and you learn of him, listen, school will go by like that. And 50 years will be consolidated to 4 years. It'll be great. I love all of you. It's been good to spend this time with you. I'll let you go back to your work. Break's over.
All right, let's get same book and turn to number 65.
Thank you for the music, girls, for helping out, Brother Allen for the playing, and for all of you taking part in it. Time for the task at hand. I was hoping maybe he might sing a couple more songs, but I guess it's just well that we go ahead and get started and commence. We've had on our minds for some time a thought that'll be found in the Old Bible in a couple places. The first one we'll go to is the book of Ecclesiastes. And I would invite your attention to the scripture and to, hold the book on me. But I need the Lord's help. I need His presence. I need y'all to pray and pray without ceasing while we try to speak. But I love the books as they're identified, the books of poetry in this part of the Bible, the Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. Because there's gospel in there, for one. Jesus is talked about there in the other. But this also brings about to our attention some things about us sometimes that we don't like, about human nature. Brother Tom, and it can teach us, it can enrich us. And the one that wrote these particular book from which we'll speak here, Solomon, not enough can be said about him, the thousands of proverbs that he could quote, the thousands of songs that he could sing, his memory, he just seemed to have been taken, some type of supplement, I guess, to have had that type of ability. But he did. And he knew his God. And he was also a preacher, as it says in the first chapter, in the first verse of this book. But he said this right here. Let's go ahead and get into our lesson. Starting with verse 8 in the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes. And we'll give you time to get there, but read along with us. Verse 8 says, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. All is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And with the mistakes that we made," that's reading from verse 8 to the end of the chapter there. And we'll go to another place in a minute to kind of give you a text, but this kind of lays the groundwork here. And in the first verse, he mentioned vanity of vanities. Well, he's talking about nothing more than the humans. And as we think of vanity, some people might think, maybe that's just, it has its roots in the word to be vain. But in this situation, we can contemplate that it is things about us. It is things that we espouse. It is things that we desire. It's things that command our attention. It's our personality. It's our character. And you can kind of look at it like this. He says, "A vanity of vanities." Many of you have restrooms, I'm sure, and sometimes in there you have a little stand on which your basin or your bowl is, and it's called a vanity. Well, look at this as a type of furniture, and you have things in there. It's full of things. But look at the humans as one big ball of vanity, and it is full of vanities. It talks about us like that. Now we have personal standards. We can look at each other, and we can certainly understand that some people have a better constitutions about them. We see bad things about people and read about them in the press and see them on the news. People have done heinous things. And certainly we ascribe to wish people could do better. We wish people could live more godly. Wish that people could do as God has taught in His commandments, as He said in the 13th verse there. He said that the whole duty of man is to do that. But listen, these personal standards are good. These personal standards that we have among each other are what we judge each other by. The law of the land is written such that those who've committed crimes, they don't know what the punishment is. And we can look at each other and can tell whether people are yielding good fruit or bad fruit. But what matters, ultimately, what matters is not our standards among ourselves and with each other. Yes, it's good. It's good that we have those standards and we can live peaceably and amicably and have good relationships with each other. But what matters ultimately, people, is God's standards. That's what matters ultimately in all of this. That's what matters when we compare all our standards with the Almighty, and when we compare our good traits, when we compare those things that we like to espouse about a good human nature, they are nothing. They are nothing when it comes to God's standards. We look at our wealth as gives us happiness. We look at our health that gives us good feeling. We look at our pride. We look at our responses to those things that happen in our life and those good things that we do. And those are good. Those are give us honor. They give us pleasure. They give us respect among each other here in our world. But listen, what really matters? What really matters? And he said that. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Is to satisfy God's standards. That's what matters ultimately. Among everything in this world that you do, we mentioned these kids going to school and they're going to get a good education, and I believe that they will go to do well both in their lives, in their wives and in their spouses. They will do good to raise children if we keep them right there and give them a good starting point. They will, I believe, do well and make themselves proud, make you proud. But ultimately, what matters, what really matters in this life, people, is to satisfy God's, to satisfy the Almighty, to give heed to what He says, to give that knowledge over here. And our happiness, really, when it truly comes down to it, there's a lot of things that make you happy. On Saturdays during the fall, I'm very happy, you know. And when I'm out doing things that I love, I'm very happy. Doing things with my family, I'm very happy. But my real happiness, real, real happiness comes in getting blessings from God. That's where my happiness should really be rooted in, Brother Allen. That's where our happiness, and that's where all we should aspire to be, nothing more than for God to say, well done. Listen, at the end of time, that's what wouldn't we all aspire that? We all should be giving over to that fact that we want to get to the end of time, and when we're there before the judgment, not that this is going to add to our salvation because we're saved here, but over there, when we're looking to get those rewards, wouldn't you all want the Lord to say, well done, well done. Have you done anything for me? Listen, y'all, listen. We pass this plate here from time to time to take up money to help to keep this church going. But the Lord is going to pass this plate one day. The Lord's going to take up collection. What have you done for me? What have you done for me? And so as we read about those things in this lesson here, and we're having to deal with our own flesh. We're having to deal with sin. We're having to deal with pressures outside of ourselves. We're having to deal with the world. It all has its roots in sin. And the devil is the underwriter of it. And when we give in to that, then we are gone to a way where God is not pleased with. We're in a situation where God will not bless. God will withhold blessings from us. But I didn't mean to go that far down that road. But look at what he says here. Let's just do a little expository stuff here, reading. He mentions in the ninth verse there that the preacher sought to give people knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of the Word of God. If the preacher is doing his things right, and I will commend our preacher here, our pastor here, that he will give us nothing more than the unadulterated Word of God, the truth of God. And if he seeks that out, if he seeks God's word and he gets God help and we get behind him, y'all, we put our shoulder to the cart and help push, let's what? We will get nothing but the truth. And we need to hold the truth and nothing but the truth. And as the Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. Because, listen, a preacher that will just stand up and give men pleasing things that they want to hear. The Bible says, Paul said over there in his writing, that there's going to become a time when there will be people standing in pulpits, preachers standing here, that will give nothing but enticing words. They'll be reading fables to people. Listen, that is not the truth. And if it gets to the point in this church, we're done. We are done. If we get the truth here and the Spirit is not accompanying the Word, we're through as a church. The parking lot might be full and the congregation might be filling every seat in here. But if the Spirit and the power and the truth ain't there, it's not a church, y'all. We're done. We're done at that point. So it gives us something to hold on to and to espouse to and look forward to. So people pray. There's your first marching order to pray. He said the preacher would seek out good words and give them good knowledge. He sought to find out acceptable words and that which was written that was upright, even words of truth. Listen, there's a lot of lies being told out here about sin. And listen, this bothers me to no end that sin is being promoted as okay. And people won't accept that about new lifestyles and let people be people. Listen, I would hate to be party to a group of people who promotes nothing but lies. If 90 million people believe a lie, it's still a lie. If it's against God's word, we need to be holding on to that. We don't need to be part of it. We need to stand against it. If it's the truth in God's word, it was the truth at that time, and it'll be the truth that'll judge us at the end of time. And I'm not saying y'all, I'm saying us. But I need to be a better soldier for my Lord, because the time is coming, and now is, when the truth needs to be heard in the house of God. Judgment must start in the house of God. Where is that? That's right here, Paul. And not just in these seats or in this pulpit, but in our hearts is where this needs to start. So let's take hold of the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. And I like what he said in the 11th verse. The words of the wise are as goads. And what he meant there, a goad is a long, kind of a skinny pole or a stick, and it might have a kind of a semi-sharp end on it there, and it's used to herd animals. And in this instance, this maybe it's for oxen. We mentioned in the Bible verses there that we had, it said, put my yoke upon you. And he was making reference to those things that they understood. They were all farmers. But a yoke is that piece of equipment that harnesses two animals. Could be horses, mules, and they used to use oxen like that. And it would harness their strength, and they need to be equally yoked. And boy, there's a thought that'll preach. We need to be equally yoked with each other. We don't need to be yoked with the world. We can't pull unevenly with the world. We got to pull with nothing but the Word of God, and the Word of God and nothing else. But that goad is something that farmer would use to give commands, to give commands to those oxen, to keep them in line when they got out astray. You know, maybe just to touch them, just to let them know, I'm here. I'm here for you. Yeah, I'll give you comfort. I'll ward off whatever might attack you. Listen, is that not just like the Word of God that helps us? Doesn't it let us know that God is right there with us? Doesn't it correct us when we're wrong? Does it give us reproof when we need to be getting back in line? Yes, the Word of God does all that, and we need to have our hearts open enough to accept it. We have to accept that Word, to accept His teaching, and it'll guide us. It'll teach us. It'll give us warmth. It'll give us comfort. It'll give us guidance. Do we worry? It'll give us ease. It'll give us peace, y'all. It will give us peace. And he said it's like the nails as masters of assemblies. Well, what does a nail do? A nail attaches things. It makes things fastened. It makes them secure. Listen, the Word of God is never going to fall away. The Word of God is always going to be true. The Word of God is always going to be that we can aspire to, that it will be there when the world is on fire. And it is there to bind us and make us attached and fastened to this way that we know of. And not to go after the things of the world. Not to fall in with sin. Not to fall in with those things that isn't the truth. But we need to be fastened to God's Word. And he said in the 12th verse here about all the many words that are written. And children, we mentioned about learning and about your being in school and about your knowledge is going to be increased. And you'll read things. Sometimes fiction is fun to read. You'll learn of things of science and the mastery of engineering and stuff, which I love. I love to learn how things work. I love to learn about the things in our world, and I love to learn all that. But he mentioned here that some of these things are a weary to the flesh to keep learning. Listen, you can learn all the things of all the books in the world, and none of that will compare to knowing God. None of that comes compare to knowing God's words and staying in that and staying in the truth that he has put before us and laying a groundwork for others to see and to be a marker out there on the fields that are white with harvest. Nothing can compare with that kind of knowledge that we have. And I listen to you here. People, young people, old people, all of us, we need to be in line to make sure that we understand the conclusion as he summarizes here in this 13th verse. This is a verse that I dearly love. It starts with fear God and keep his commandments. Fear God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's where it all starts. That's where it all lines up. That's where we get our beginning with God, is that we must know of God. We have been taught of God. I remember being taught of God in Sunday school when I was just a little feller. And I'm still learning of God, these good teachers that we have. Give me great satisfaction in hearing about our God and increasing my wisdom of God. But there is that hindered us in all of this. I go back to that first verse. He said, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. But we have things smaller than the world that we have to deal with. And we want to turn back over here to the Psalm letter to give you just a few more verses. And I want to give you a context, a text verse of that we're going to be talking about here. And it is those things that we're going to be kind of centralizing our thought on here, because the things that we have to deal with is ourselves. Psalms 39. If you'll turn with me and read, we'll read just a few verses, and we'll give you just a text verse out of this. And this is the foundation, I guess, of our teaching. And other than that was just a preamble to understand that we are in the world, that we need to know of God, that we need to hold of God. But what are we faced with in that trial and tribulation? What are we faced with? Psalms 39. Read with me. Verse 1. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my mouth. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. He's acknowledging that he is small before God, that he wanted to have this knowledge that probably he couldn't get and would never know. But listen to this last verse that we want to read, and the latter part of it, pay attention. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. This is our text right here. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Now, this doesn't mean here all saved people. This doesn't mean just, you know, sinful people, sinners, those that are lost. Every man at his best state is altogether vanity. And it goes back to that sinful flesh that we talked about. What a wonderful, you know, sermon that we heard this morning in Sunday school. Brother Tom, I appreciate you for bringing that to our mission. And you were just, you know, traping all over my sermon here. And I thought, Lord, if he goes over there and gives him my text, he'll think that I stole that and made it up. But everything just dovetails here. Listen, y'all, everything just dovetails here when we're talking about sinful man. If there's one thing that we as Christians need to understand and acknowledge is our sinful state. We all need to acknowledge, just like he said, that we are altogether vanity. Our flesh makes us that way. And the only difference, listen, sinner friend, if you're here, you suffer the same thing. You have those draws, you have those tendencies, you have those lusts in your flesh as well. Saved people have that as well. But there is a difference between you and us. There is a great big difference between you and us. And that is that Holy Spirit that has taken up its abode once people get saved. That is the only difference between you and us. It's the Holy Spirit that abides in our heart. We all have to deal with the sinful pleasures of life. We all have to deal with this because it is such there. And we all, in that sense, all our flesh is unclean, the Bible talks it. He says over in the 64th chapter of the book of Isaiah, he said, we are all as an unclean thing. Thinking there of the saved people, he said, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we can turn over here and just give you a little more review of what he's talking about filthy here. And the Bible has established us as sinful creatures. But let's look over here and look in, if we can find it over here in Psalm 14. Lost my place here. Psalm 14, verse 1. Let's read a little bit. He says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there was any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. The Roman letter, as we heard in our hearing, that Brother Tom mentioned this morning, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, we are lower than God. We need not think that we can think His thoughts, that we can get to His ways and acknowledge that, because there's a great gulf fixed between us and them, and that's sin, and that is sinful flesh that we have. It's all we have to deal with and live in this body, and it's good enough. It'll do us. But listen, our flesh is sinful. He said it's unclean. You know, you ever have a shirt maybe that you wore and, you know, it looked a little clean. Maybe you hung it up and wore again, you know. So, you know, you might think that it's not even stained. You can wear it again. Or maybe you went out and you played in the mud. So maybe that's your, you know, examples there, the extremes of unclean. Maybe you can get by with a little unclean. And this over here, you're going to have to watch it. But listen, we're not just a little bit filthy. We are totally filthy. The Hebrew derivation there, the Hebrew interpretation of the word filthy there, is stinking. Stinking. Sin, our sinful flesh, and the sins that we commit is a stink in the nostril of God. It is altogether filthy. And all of our goodness, all of our righteousnesses are just filthy. Our good intentions are filthy. Listen, to try to do right and to think that it's going to avail to you, sinner friend, we read over there in Matthew where Jesus told them that. They tried to give them understanding that, listen, have we not done all these things? He said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. And they thought they had done good. They thought that their benevolence was equate to something that to give them good stature in their soul. No. It was all filthy. We want to turn back over here and give you just a little bit more of some scripture that we find over here in Job, where he talks about that man is filthy. Job in the 15th chapter there, in about the 14th verse, he says, what is man that he should be clean? And he which is born of a woman that he should be righteous? Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man, which drinketh iniquity like water. So Job was another one that understood that his sinful flesh was an abomination to him. That the sinful flesh is an abomination to God. That sinful flesh stands in our way of serving God because of all those things that it espouses. Listen, our flesh is prone to sin. Our flesh is given to sin. Our flesh is driven to sin. And the only way that we can control that is if we let the inward man rule. If we can espouse to God and hold on to God, that is how we overcome. And we need that. Paul said over in the Corinthian letter, he said, I can do all things on my own. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We need that inner man working through us. We need to hold on to that and to see what direction that we need to go in that matter. And we need to understand that God has put us here and He has not left us destitute. And I reminded of, we touched about Adam over there in the Garden of Eden. And when he sinned and fell from that Eden state that he was in there. His soul had been secure up until that point. But when he understood that he had sinned and broken God's law, that's when there was an understanding that came in his life. And young friend, if you're here, and you must understand that at some point in time, if you continue to have your right mind, that you will come to a time in your life when you will know, when that spirit will come in your heart and it will put in a burden in there, and that sense of tranquility and peace will be gone, and there will be trouble and there will be sorrow. And why? That's because you will understand that you have broken God's law. And you might think, well, I haven't done any sin. I shouldn't be accountable for that. But listen, if you're lost, I can know of two sins that you've already committed. And the one sin there, that he who has not believed, is condemned already. The sin of unbelief. That's your sin that you're carrying with you. It follows you like a cloud. There used to be an old Peanuts character. His name was Pigpen. That was him. And he was so dirty that his dust cloud followed him around. That's the sin cloud that's following you, sinner friend, is the sin of unbelief. And the other is sin as you've lied to yourself. You've lied to yourself, that you don't think you're accountable to God. But yes, you are. You're accountable to God. So, with all these understanding out here, Alan, you might think that, well, man is just filthy, so maybe just let him go and do what he wants. But God was better than that. When Adam sinned over there and he saw that he was sinful, he was ashamed. And he and his wife, who was Eve, sewed up fig leaves to cover their sin. What are you doing to cover your sin? Are you living in sin? And I'm preaching to everybody here. What are we doing to try to cover our sin? Do you think, that you can hide great sin for long, forever? Do you think that you can get by with it? I know of people, had on a first name basis with some people who, hid sin for a long time and was caught, and they went and did some time in prison for it. My wife always says, there's a paper trail somewhere. You can try to hide it from a lot of people, but eventually you'll get caught. Listen, what was the last verse that we read in Ecclesiastes 12? Well, God will bring everything into judgment, whether it's done in secret. Everything is going to be brought there. But Adam there, he sowed fig leaves to hide his sin. To hide his sin. And he came back to him and said, Adam, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice, and I was afraid. He said, I was naked, and I was afraid. He said, who told you that you was naked? Well, the Spirit told him he was naked, and he hid himself. And that's when he preached to him there, and he told him that he would be given a Savior in the future to take care of your sin. Yes, he said, what is man that thou, is mindful of him? I'll tell you what he is. He loves us, that what he did. That was a great verse that we had in our Sunday school lesson this morning, and it's one that comes to mind now. Thank you, Tom. I'll take inspiration wherever I can get it, okay? It said that God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John said, we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. How I love Jesus, because he first loved me. I didn't deserve his love, but because he loved me, and because he wanted to have direct and good and full fellowship with him in my soul and through his Spirit is why he sent his Son to die for us. That's why he made a way so that we can have direct fellowship. But listen, don't think that his love to mankind is an automatic inclusion into the family of God. Yeah, he loves everybody. He loves everybody. But listen, it's not an automatic, admission into heaven. And I know I've said it many times that I've been to funerals of people of the unchurched. Their families were unchurched. And they just automatically think, well, my mother, father, dad, brother, whatever, was a good person, so we'll see him in heaven one day. Listen, people, good thoughts like that are not part of being saved. You know, good commendations about people like that aren't going to get you to heaven. I had a good friend of mine who I knew in the music business, and he's still alive, but I remember him telling me about one time when he went to his mother's funeral, and they were of a belief where you don't know if you're saved in this life. You've got to wait till the judgment. And he was very happy about the fact that the preachers had given his mom a good letter of recommendation, so to speak. They thought she made it. Listen, people. I don't know if you're saved. You don't know if I'm saved. Only God knows if we're all saved. And we can know it, and we can talk about it, express it, and enjoy the fellowship of that salvation brings. But listen, don't you think that you're going to have to worry about that somebody's going to give you a commendation whether you get in or not. Listen, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. You're going to have to be accountable for your own sin. You're going to have to be accountable for your own salvation. And if you wind up in a lower hell, if you wind up in a place of eternal torment, it won't be because God sent you there. It's because you ignored the plea. You ignored the gospel call, and you did not get saved in this life. But we, as saved people, we shouldn't take our salvation as a blank check to get out here and do what we want, as we're accused from time to time. If you ever had a debate or some type of discussion with people who question, you know, eternal and everlasting salvation, they will bring that up. Well, do you think you can just get out here and kill people and do what you want? Well, I have never met one person who was changed to go and wanted to go do heinous crimes and commit such filth. I have never met one person that the love of God turned them into that type of creature. Listen, the love of God comes in our hearts and it's shed abroad and it makes us love everybody. Makes us love everybody. Makes us want all these people to go with us. And the difference there, sinner friend, between us and you, like we said, is that we have the joy of God in our hearts, that we enjoy the blessing of salvation. But listen, and this is kind of an interchangeable sermon, I guess, but listen, my fellow saved people, we have to deal with this flesh, and how we deal with it is pretty important. Paul said on one occasion, he said in Philippian letter, the 3rd chapter, he said, we are the circumcision. In other words, we are the group of people. We are the circumcision that worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And why is that? Well, for a reason we've already explained, that the flesh, if you live in the flesh, you're going to do things of the flesh. If you live for the flesh, you're going to try to satisfy the flesh. But thank God that saved soul, we believe that it is intact. We believe that it is secure. We believe that it is certain to go to heaven one day. But we still have to deal with the sins that we are faced with every day. And if we're enjoying, and I shouldn't act like a pastor here. God help me. God help us all. If we're enjoying the sins of the world, and we're out there enjoying sin with the world, and we're glad of that, and we're promoting that on social media or whatever, then we need to examine ourselves, and we need to get back to where a place where God can really use us. We need to get back to a place where God can have His way with us and do those things that He would have us to do, because God is not pleased with sin. God is not pleased with uncleanness. And sinner friend, if you witness sin from a supposed safe person, you know, I'll try to apologize for them at this point. Listen, we must do better, people. We need to get on the firing line here. We need to be able to understand that our flesh is detriment to God's will. And Paul said also in one plane, he said in the Romans in the 8th chapter, he said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Why? Because it's given to the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And we have to be able to control that. We have to be able to understand that popularity with the world in all cases isn't really good. You know, our popularity and our well standing in the world isn't always a good thing. Come ye out from them, he said, and be ye separate. We already mentioned that. Don't be unequally yoked with the world. Don't be given over to sin. Let's get ourselves right in the eyes of God. Let's have those things that we need to know, that we understand. And there's one more verse here that we'll give you over in Deuteronomy in about the 10th chapter here. And this is what the Lord would have us to do. This is what the Lord would have us to understand as we get to the point in our lives where we're thinking about salvation of our kinsmen, that we're thinking about our neighbors, that we're thinking about being good stewards for God, he says in the 12th verse, Deuteronomy chapter 10. And he says, and now, Israel, and we could just say, and now, Murfreesboro Church, this is to all of us. What doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God. There's the fear again that we mentioned in one of the verses. But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. There you go. You know, there's a lot of, we go back to, he said, keep his commandments. You know, if you do all that, you'll fulfill his commandments. And remember the Ten Commandments over there. And I might fail if I try to mention them all, but y'all can help me here. We can probably get through them. What are they? You know, that serve only God, to have no graven image, to don't take his name in vain, to Sabbath day to keep it holy, honor your father and your mother, do not steal, do not kill, do not lie, do not covet. And what was the other one? Do not commit adultery. It's all in there. I didn't get them in order, but that's them. Those are the Ten Commandments. And if the whole world fulfilled all that, it'd be such a better place. Jesus said, though, I give you a new commandment. A new commandment I give you. He said that over in John, that you love one another as I have loved you. Love one another. You got to love me, my warts and all, Brother Sonny. Whatever warts you think I have, you got to love me. And I'll do the same for you. I'll do the same for you. Well, sinner friend, you know, a Christian life doesn't start with keeping the Ten Commandments. You've got another commandment that you've got to fulfill, and we'll call that commandment zero. In Acts the 17th chapter, Paul is on Mars Hill. He's talking to those Athenians over there about their dealings to the unknown God and such. And he was talking about that times that they are and what they were and the things that they were doing. But he said this. He said, and the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. That's your first commandment, sinner friend. You're going to have to express faith in God and repentance toward God and faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, so that you can start the Christian life. You know, and we talked a little bit about sanctification and justification, mostly justification there today in our study lesson. Justification is the act of being saved. Sanctification is growing in the Lord after you have been saved. They are mutually exclusive. In other words, they are separately and independent of one from another. To be saved is one thing. You can't think you can be sanctified all your life and you'll be saved at the end. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. Why? Because we're all unclean. Job said, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? We're all filthy anyway. Only God can do that. Only God can cleanse a soul. Only God can save a person from his own self. Because ultimately, y'all, in my own thinking there, God saves us from ourselves, more or less. What did he make us out of? He made us out of clay, didn't he? He made us of the dust of the earth. We're all going to go back to the dust of the earth. And the one psalmist said, he had pulled me out of the miry clay. You know, people, we got to get past our own self-volition. We got to get our own sense of that we can be good enough. A sinner friend, you got to understand that whatever your intentions are that you can think you'd be saved out of God's way is good enough. It is not. Because you are all together vanity at your best state. On your best day, sinner friend, you're vanity. You fall short of the glory of God. Christian people, on our best day, our flesh is full of vanity. And we need to hold on to God's unchanging hand. We need to abide by his rules and regulations. We need to be on fire for him. And then we need to put our back to sin and say, Satan, get thee behind me. Every man, woman, boy, girl, is altogether vanity. Not just a little bit. Not just some. But all together. The flesh, it works against us. That's my message. While we have a song, I would invite anybody here, under the sound of my voice, if you're lost, and you know it, and the Lord is begging with you to be saved, why don't you come and pray with us? Pray here, and we'll help you what we can. Sinner friend, The invitation. Jesus is pleading with you now. He's dealing with you, he's pleading with you. So while we stand, Christian people, do your duty. And remember to fight the wiles of the devil in the flesh. We got to hold on to God. And I'll close with this quote. I think it was Charles Spurgeon said this. He said that no man on his own, you know, can serve God in his strength, because we don't have our strength. But only through the grace of God can we deal with it, you know. And I paraphrase, and it's something like that, and I apologize for missing that. But listen, we have to have God working through us to help us defeat the wiles of the flesh. I'll be quiet while we sing this song.
Number 103.